their contract in a way in which they could get out of the deal for a relative pittance after two seasons. If they cut Cooper, he would count $6 million against the salary cap, not $22 million. For a team that is projected to be more than $21 million over the cap, every dollar counts. If the Cowboys cut Cooper, they could face a lot of turnover at the receiver spot in 2022. CeeDee Lamb is set, but Michael Gallup and Cedric Wilson are...
You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucs Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Middleton into the front court. He's attacking. Lobs up top for Giannis, and there's that alley-oop as he rocks the rim on the two-hand jam of the Bucks go out in front.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
The rebound secured by the Bucks. Giannis will hold on in the final seconds. Will tick off the clock in another big-time win for the Bucks here in a big-time stretch of the season. 118-112, they take down the Chicago Bulls and have moved into a deadlock for third place in the East.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah!
Not the most impressive win this season. That came Wednesday night against Miami, or at least the best win, but back-to-back good wins for the Bucks, who, in a sense, same old Bucks. They started off red hot, led by as many as 14 in the first half, and then, as we have come to find out, the Bucks' biggest rival this season. It is not the Chicago Bulls. It is not the Miami Heat. It is not going to be the Philadelphia 76ers and James Harden. It's not even going to be another playoff matchup with Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. It's not these Phoenix Suns, even if that is an NBA Finals rematch once again this season. The Bucks' biggest rivalry this season is the third quarter. The Bulls outscore the Bucks by 11, and you think, here we go again. But yes, here we do go again for the second straight game. The Bucks close things out in the fourth quarter in impressive fashion, and it's no coincidence. Two straight games. The strength in the fourth quarter came from the defense, coming up with some stops down the stretch for the third straight win now for the Bucks. And as we mentioned, third place in the Eastern Conference, three games back of the Miami Heat. My stance has not changed. We mentioned this on Wednesday night. I still think Sixers and Heat are going to finish 1-2. Maybe not that order. Maybe Philly wins the East, but those are going to be your top two teams. I think what we've seen now, the Bucks are likely going to finish third in the Eastern Conference. It would be a second consecutive year, but Chicago has now lost four in a row. Yes, they expect to get Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso back. A lot to get into with that as well, but they expect to get that duo back. It's not going to be until the end of the month, right around the time that the Bucks hope to get Pat Connaughton back and maybe Brooke Lopez, as we got another update on Brooke earlier today. So I know our pal Greg Matzik had thrown out the 22nd as his target date. Maybe we'll see him a little sooner based on what Bud said earlier today. We'll catch you up on that as well. But the Bucks third in the Eastern Conference. Three games back of the Heat, one game back of the Sixers, tied with the Bulls, but as of right now, you got the tiebreaker, and you got the Celtics and the Cavs. Right now, Celtics a game and a half back of the Bucks and the Bulls, the Cavs 2.5 back, but look, we're starting to see some slippage from the Cavs and the Chicago Bulls. They've been a great story. I'm not ready to say cute story for the Bulls just yet. I will say cute story for the Cavs. It's lasted as long as it could, but now we're starting to see a little bit of settling in the Eastern Conference, and it is starting to feel a lot like last year. It took a while to get here, but now it feels like we've read this story before, and one of the teams has changed. Replace the Brooklyn Nets with the Miami Heat, and you get a similar story, a three-team race in the Eastern Conference. I don't know what to make of Brooklyn, but as we've said, there is no way to project the East other than what I just told you. The Heat and the Sixers are going to finish 1-2, and the Bucks will finish 3. there's no way to project the path that you want, what the matchups are going to be for as tightly contested as the conference remains. And the fact of, oh, by the way, the Brooklyn Nets are going to play one of those three teams in the first round, in all likelihood. The Heat, the Sixers, or the Bucks. I've said it over a handful of times here. If you're the Bucks, you want to finish in this range where you can draw the Cavs or the Bulls in the first round. No offense, Greg. You want the Cavs or the Bulls in the first round. And then you'll see where the chips fall from there. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. It's a three-game win streak, but it's two straight games where the defense shines and the Bucks win in a clutch situation. How close to being back are the Bucks? Or are they back? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. The Bucks beat the Bulls, and we've got some thoughts. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Crosses over on Thompson, spins, kicks out. Holiday thought about another three, instead drives, kicks it to the corner. Three-pointer from Grayson Allen is in there. Grayson Allen delivers a beauty from the right side on another Coors Light three, and Milwaukee's back to within two.
You knew we were going to hear it for Grayson Allen. And we did see a flagrant one from Derrick Jones Jr. on Grayson Allen. A lot of talk from Tristan Thompson, who there's two guys that have found a home, a new home here in the last couple of weeks. Tristan Thompson and DeAndre Jordan. It's kind of the retread coach discussion where you fire a coach and instead of hiring a new coordinator, well, let's bring in this guy. Let's bring in Mike McCarthy. He said he learned analytics. I trust that. Let's try it out. How can it be bad? Let's bring in Wade Phillips. We've seen those hires over and over again. That's what you're doing when you bring in Tristan Thompson and you bring in DeAndre Jordan, which the Bulls and the 76ers have done now in the last couple of weeks. Tristan Thompson is an absolute zero. You saw for one stretch here the Bucks repeatedly just attacking the rim with Giannis because Tristan Thompson, Derrick Jones Jr., Nikola Vucevic, they have no chance at stopping or slowing him down. A couple of moments where you started to think, man, have we taken Giannis's free throw shooting for granted, that he's been on this run where he seemingly hasn't missed at the free throw line? And we saw some struggles tonight. It was, I looked this up during the game. I'm going to have to find it again now, but I want to say it was the first week of December was the last time Giannis had a game like this at the free throw line. So just kind of, oh, by the way, he's been extremely consistent at around 75 or 80% shooting at the free throw line basically all of this season. I mentioned this on the postgame show as well. He now has three straight games where he has 25 or more points, 15 or more rebounds, and 5 or more assists. Three straight games. The longest stretch of his career is 5. He was a rebound away from making it 4, as he had 14 rebounds in the loss to the Brooklyn Nets. But, you know, all of a sudden, we keep mentioning Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid. Those are the three guys atop the debate here in the race for the MVP award. We keep referencing Basketball Reference and their MVP tracker. So as we've said before, Basketball Reference has their MVP award tracker. It ranks candidates based on a model they built using the previous voting results. There was a time earlier this season when Giannis was the leader. Right now, the leader, according to Basketball Reference, Nikola Jokic, they have a 35% probability of winning the MVP award for a second consecutive season. Behind Jokic, though, it's not Joel Embiid, it's not Chris Paul, it's not Ja Morant. And by the way, I know this is Bucks talk, but if we can do Grizzlies talk for a moment, I guess I'm just as guilty as anyone. I keep saying Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid. Ja Morant should be in that conversation. Joel Embiid's been great this season. Ja Morant has been incredible for the Memphis Grizzlies. So at the very least, Ja Morant should finish fourth in MVP voting this season. But coming into play tonight, 35% probability for Nikola Jokic, 25% probability for Giannis, 14% for Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's numbers are probably going to suffer now that he was leading the NBA in scoring coming into tonight, but you had James Harden. And I know James Harden is going to be on his best behavior, just like he was with the Brooklyn Nets last season. We've seen how good he is as a playmaker, but you still are inserting a high-scoring guard into the mix. Joel Embiid's numbers are probably going to come down a little bit. Giannis outscored him tonight. Coming into play tonight, Joel Embiid was the NBA's leading scorer, half a point per game in front of Giannis. Giannis has narrowed the gap a little bit. Embiid's averaging 29.6 points, Giannis 29.4 rebounds, Giannis, or 29.4 points, so essentially a wash. Rebounds also essentially a wash, 11.6 for Giannis, 11.1 for Joel Embiid. Giannis has more assists. Giannis is averaging just as many steals and just as many blocks. Giannis has more double-doubles. Giannis has more triple-doubles. Giannis has a better plus-minus. The more you look at the numbers, as great as Joel Embiid has been, Joel Embiid's been great because he's been healthy this season. He's played in 50 games. Giannis's numbers across the board have been better. Coming into play tonight as well, the other thing that everybody said, oh, by the way, let's not lose track of this. Giannis has the single highest PER in NBA history, player efficiency rating. He broke it a couple of years ago over Wilt Chamberlain. I think it was 31. It was 31-something that Wilt had. Maybe it was 30. Giannis broke it. Then Nikola Jokic broke it last year. And now Giannis has raced ahead of what Nikola Jokic did. So all the numbers are starting to point to, hey, by the way, this Giannis guy is still pretty good. And, you know, what stands out to me about what Giannis has done this season? I don't know if I would say it's his best season. Statistically, he's had dominant seasons in the past. But it's impressive to me in that what he's doing, it's his best season in terms of progression and doing things you need to do in the playoffs. We had mentioned these were some of the changes we saw dating back to the postseason when, you know, Giannis really started to figure things out. It seemed like game three, game four of that semifinal series against the Brooklyn Nets, where he really started to play like Shaq and played like a traditional big man, knew Brooklyn's got nobody that can defend me. I'm going to get to my spots and I'm going to be that guy and find my teammates and set them up. It's carried through to this season where coming into play tonight, Giannis had attempted the fewest shots at the rim any season of his career. Prior to tonight, he'd only taken 426 shots at the rim, which is still a lot. But 426 out of almost 1,200 shots he's taken at the rim. That is the fewest rate in his career. He has taken the most mid-range attempts he has taken since before Mike Budenholzer arrived. That year in 2017-18, 37% of his shots were mid-range attempts. This year it's over 30 again. It's about 33%. And what's most impressive, he's shooting 40% on mid-range shots. That is the highest of his career. He has never had a season where he shot 40% or more on mid-range attempts. So he's getting more comfortable with that shot, that we've seen him add it to his repertoire and take it much more frequently, and now he's starting to hit it. Now, tonight was one of those games, too, where I wouldn't say he was in his bag. This was not his best game. He was 12 of 22 from the floor, but he recognized some of those things. Of, okay, I attempted a pair of three-pointers early. They didn't fall. I took some mid-rangers early-ish in the game. I had moderate success there, but you know what? Chicago can't stop me near the rim. And as much as we mentioned, well, he's shooting at a high percentage at the rim this year. He saw what was working, and he went to that down the stretch. The three-point attempts for Giannis in this game, one came in the first quarter, one came in the fourth quarter. He took three shots in the paint in the fourth quarter, four shots in the paint, scored six of those paint points in the fourth, six in the third quarter, six in the second quarter, only four in the opening quarter. He started to figure out, okay, let's get here. The volume of shots that he was taking in the paint area started to increase as the game went on. That's the type of thing where you point to and say, okay, I'll try it out. I'll see if I got it going early. Not working. Okay, now we're just going to play downhill and attack. And I think that's what he did, especially in the fourth quarter. You had Drew Holiday help him out as well. 16 points in the fourth quarter. We took 25 minutes to get to Drew Holiday and how good he was tonight. But this two straight games, I don't think it's coincidental. Bucks close a team out in the fourth quarter. Giannis, Chris, and Drew were all pretty good tonight. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. Two straight impressive wins for the Bucks. As bad and as ugly as the third quarter was, it feels even better to do what they did in the fourth quarter and get another big win. Said it on Wednesday night. I think this team, for as much as we have pointed to this schedule, and man, March is brutal. The Bucks have the toughest remaining schedule in the league. By the way, the Bulls have the second most difficult remaining schedule. So I think it's likely we're going to see Chicago and Cleveland finishing fifth and sixth in the East. But the Bucks do have a difficult remaining schedule. Sometimes that's what you need to really test your mettle and improve on some of those things and get ready for the postseason, especially a year where, depending on where the Bucks finish here, the Brooklyn Nets could be your first-round matchup. A suddenly hot Boston Celtics team could be your first-round. These Bulls could be the Bucks' first-round matchup. There is no rollover team in the opening round of the playoffs this season. 855-616-1620. Is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. A couple of other things to point out on Giannis's statistics here and what he has done this season. A potentially historic season for Giannis. It feels like this is four straight years that we've said, hey, you know, nobody's ever done X, Y, and Z, and Giannis is doing it this year. There's one other thing we can point to this season that no player in the 75-year history of this league has done. And Giannis is rather easily doing it now, nearing the end of this season. We will get to that and some of those third quarter numbers. So I know I had a couple of tweets about this. A lot of the follow-up questions of, well, what is it that's going wrong with the Bucks in the third quarter? In short, everything. Turnovers seem to pop up a lot in the third quarter. Missed shots, poor defense, all of that. But the question that came up the most was, how concerned should we be about this third quarter rating? That it's not just a stretch here. It's not just a month. It's basically been an entire season that the Bucks have played like this in the third quarter. How concerned should we be? Is this a warning sign for anything? I went through and tried to see, when is the last time we had a team? Right now, the Bucks are 25th in net rating in the third quarter. When's the last time we had a team right around where the Bucks are that low in their third quarter performance? I did the work for you. I'll give you the answer after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Loses the basketball. That was pry free. Holiday comes away with it. Off to Giannis going the other way. Two long strides, and he will flush it through with another one-hand slam.
16 fourth quarter points from Drew Holiday. Finished the game with 26, and the Bucks close out the Bulls for another impressive win. Back-to-back now for the Bucks this season. Giannis feels like he has been as good as ever. And this is a year where, you know, in the past we've had some of these debates of, well, you really only got one or two viable options. We just rattled through. Embiid's been terrific. Giannis, maybe the best year of his career. Nikola Jokic, even better than he was a season ago when he won the MVP. Chris Paul is you know, as much as we talk about Ja Morant, those two guys, nobody is talking about for the MVP award, and they should very much be near the top of the conversation. So there is a lot of candidates this season for the MVP award, and Giannis has been up there. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Good news, bad news. The bad news, third quarter issues are still there. It is the Bucks' biggest rivalry this season. The Bucks versus the third quarter, outscored by 11 tonight against the Bulls. But the good news, another game where they play extremely well in the fourth quarter and their defense shined to lead the way. Speaking of that fourth quarter, we saw Grayson Allen out there in crunch time, and you kind of got the feeling he had two opportunities with some open looks in the corner that just did not fall, but you started to get the sense of, man, Grayson Allen is going to end up hitting the back-breaking three-pointer here, right? And the crowd will absolutely riot and lose it on him. But the shots did not drop. Grayson Allen did hit one three-pointer. We heard a lot of talk from Tristan Thompson, as the Kardashian family is well aware with Tristan Thompson, just does not follow through on his obligations or threats. As what? He said he was going to be ready for some chippy play. It was DJJ that got the flagrant one on him, Derrick Jones. So, man, Tristan Thompson is just, how is he still in the league? Between that and you saw it. I mean, Greg doesn't like to call attention to it, but Greg is the biggest Chicago Bulls fan on the planet.
Planet Earth.
The video from earlier this week of Tristan Thompson.
Yes.
In the restricted area.
We all have bad days.
I mean, I've had some of those moments when I've tried to shoot left-handed.
Wow.
Granted, I'm not a 7-foot NBA player, but just a yikes all around. How concerned are you for the Chicago Bulls? Like, look, I understand this. Bulls fans are going to say, well, we still didn't have Lonzo Ball. We still didn't have Alex Caruso. And, you know, here's the other thing. I saw a handful of Bulls Twitter is just as toxic as Bucks Twitter.
1,000%.
Apparently, the common thread there is Twitter.
Yeah,
who would have known? But a lot of the, well, I mean, let's see how it impacts the Bucks if somebody injured Giannis like that. So we're comparing Alex Caruso to Giannis. For as much as I have said, it doesn't feel like it's, it feels like it's not going to be until we get to, when does the season end? April 12th, I think, something like that. It feels like it's not going to be until that first week of April that you really know. All right. I'm starting to get a sense of how, like, the entire picture in the East, in the West, all of it, how it's going to look. April 10th is the final regular season game. Bucks and the Cavaliers.
That might be some premier viewing.
It might be.
It might be.
We're sitting everyone because this is our first round playoff match.
Exactly. That's
what it's starting to feel like. I mention this a lot. 14 games in March. 9 are on the road. It is the most difficult schedule in the month of March. It's the most difficult schedule second half of the season that the Bucks have. But there are some pockets there, and there are some opportunities. And it kind of felt like that first game of March against the Heat, that could potentially be the linchpin for this month, that you win that game. Okay, now we got the Bulls. It's a road game, but the Bulls are banged up. And maybe we can hit our stride if we beat the Miami Heat. Then you see, whoa, Devin Booker's in health and safety protocols. And Chris Paul, we already know, is out for the rest of the regular season. Okay, that's a very winnable game. Then you got the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have absolutely nothing, a bigger zero than Tristan Thompson, zero to play for this season. A back-to-back against the Hawks the next night. Back-to-backs are always tough, but it's an Atlanta team that, boy, remember this team was in the conference finals last year? The Atlanta Hawks would be the first one to point it out to you, and they were the first to point it out early in the season. If you can get through those games, those are all very winnable, especially if there's no Booker and Paul on Sunday. The Thunder aren't good, so you have to win that game. You, at this point, yes, it is a must-win. You have to beat the Thunder. You can beat the Hawks. That's a six-game win streak. Then you get 2 days off before starting a four-game Western Conference trip. That's the path for you in this month of March. And I said it on Wednesday night. I believe it even more after watching how they closed out the fourth quarter. The Bucks are going to win 10 or more games this month, and we're going to say, man, remember when we were worried about the Bucks? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. We got more after this. That number I talked about, third quarter struggles. What are some other teams that have had these? I'll give you the answer next on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Wesley Matthews tees up a three, no good, but Giannis goes up and tears down the rebound in the crowd. He's spinning around, being hounded to pass it out. Drew Holiday, catch and shoot three from the left wing, and there's a big one for the Bucks.
Again, 16 of his 26 points came in the fourth quarter for Drew Holiday as the Bucks come on strong and beat the Chicago Bulls on the road tonight with a third straight win now for this team that is suddenly feels like starting to hit their stride this season. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us tonight on the program. Still more Giannis greatness to discuss here. But I want to get to what I talked about, and Ron in the Key, if you're listening, this is for you. He was the first to ask, look, how many teams going where we hope the Bucks will go have done something like this before? Now, this is kind of a, I'm sure our pal Seth Partnow will attest, this is kind of like a cherry-picked stat here. Kind of a cherry-pick stat here that Bucks are not playing well in the third quarter. Great, but how important is that in the grand scheme of things? Like, we probably should be more concerned and pay more attention to half. Like, if you're saying, well, this doesn't bode well for how they're going to play in the playoffs, you probably want to look at the fourth quarter more so than the third or the second half in general. That should be what you put your attention on. But nonetheless, the Bucks currently the 25th rated net rating, 25th rated team in the third quarter this season. Pretty bad, right? You would agree there, Greg? Pretty bad. There are 30 teams in the league. So 25th, not great, Bob.
Not good.
Yeah. Here are the teams worse than the Bucks when it comes to their third quarter performance. The Detroit Pistons, 17-47 on the season. The Houston Rockets, 15-47 on the season. The Indiana Pacers, who, my God, what they're doing right now.
Ricky!
They've become the Spider-Man meme come to life with the Pacers, the Magic, and the Pistons. Just all like, hey, one of us, we're gonna lose this Eastern Conference. Speaking of, the Orlando Magic, 16-48. They're worse than the Bucks. The Sacramento Kings are worse than the Bucks. Go figure. At 24-41 on the season. And by the way, prayers up in Sacramento. They got to win 17 straight to close out the season. They won last night, Wednesday night. So they, in all, it's got to be an 18-game win streak. If they can do that, they get to 500.
Love you, Dante.
They have not finished better than 500. And actually, I don't think they've even gotten to 500. Since Rick Adelman left, I think 16 years ago. And then you got the Bucks, who are a negative 5.6 net rating in the third quarter. It's obviously much worse in losses. It has been bad all season long. You cannot pinpoint a 2 or 3 week stretch or just 1 month and say, well, this is where they've really struggled. So the question was, okay, how many teams have been good and that bad in the third quarter, if the way I set it up makes any sense. I looked at the last 25 years. There are four teams. No carryover. You have a guess on any of the teams. These are teams that finished better than 500. So it's a very low bar. It's not even one of the best teams in the conference or a team that went on a deep playoff run. Just 500 or better. Better than 500 is what we're looking for here. Four times this happened in the last 25 years that a team had a better than 500 record and they finished 25th or worse in third quarter rating. The most recent example was 4 years ago when the Miami Heat, this was before Heat culture, I take it, but the Miami Heat finished sixth in the Eastern Conference. They won 44 games that season. And they had a negative 6.2 third quarter rating, 25th in the NBA. What did the Heat do that season? Lost in the first round of the playoffs. 1 year before that, the Oklahoma City Thunder finished 47-35, sixth in the Western Conference, 25th in third quarter rating at negative 4.3. They lost in the first round of the playoffs. 1 year prior to that, the Memphis Grizzlies barely got there, 42-40 on the season. They finished seventh in the Western Conference, 26th worst rating in the third quarter at negative 7.1. They lost in the first round of the playoffs. So the three most recent examples have gone a combined 2-12 in the playoffs, all first round exits. Now, if we go all the way back to 2007-2008, the Cleveland Cavaliers had LeBron James, finished fourth in the Eastern Conference. They won 45 games. They were 29th in third quarter rating at negative 9.9. And that was the team that bucked the trend. Won in the first round against the Wizards, then lost in seven games to the Boston Celtics in the semifinals. So you can only point to, again, I think it's fourth quarter you should be more concerned with, but if we're just looking at third quarter, there is only one team in the last 25 years that has been as bad as the Bucks have been in the third quarter and still managed to get out of the first round of the playoffs. There's one thing Giannis is doing that no one has done before in the history of the NBA. We'll tell you what it is after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The other way. Holiday into the front court. 320 and counting. Spinning on Dosunmu. Goes laterally into the lane. Floats it up and in with a left-hand finger roll. That's big boy basketball from a big boy guard. Drew Holiday. It's the heart of a
champion. Heart of a champion tonight, for sure. Two games in a row with the way the Bucks close things out. So you got a big matchup. I don't care if Devin Booker and Chris Paul are both out. You got a big game with the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. Afternoon game, 2:30 tip-off, so 2 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. That means Bucks Talk will start at 5:30, right?
5 o'clock somewhere.
5:30, 6 maybe? No.
Yeah, what, 2:30
like
tip?
That. Something like
tip?
That. Anyway, it's going to be an afternoon edition of Bucks Talk. It will not be a night broadcast, so we will keep you up to date on the MVP race. Giannis continues to narrow the gap on Nikola Jokic. And speaking of Giannis, so he entered play tonight, 29.3 points per game, 11.5 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, 1.4 blocks. He left Chicago, 29.4 points, 11.6 rebounds, 6 assists, a block, or a steal, and a 1.4 blocks. In the 75-year history of the NBA, only one player has averaged 29 or more points, 11 or more rebounds, 6 or more assists a game and has done that in fewer than 33 minutes per game. Giannis right now averaging 32.9 minutes per game. Do you know who that player is? Well, I just gave you the answer. He's at 32.9.
Oh, sure.
He is the only player in NBA history on pace to be the only player in NBA history to finish a season averaging 29-11-6 in fewer than 33 minutes. It is absolutely insane. The other night, we talked about, man, here's what Giannis did, and he did it in fewer than 30 minutes. It's a nightly occurrence for him with what he's doing, and it's getting to the point as well where we need to check in on the franchise all-time leading scoring mark, because it seemed crazy to suggest Giannis, you know, one by one, he's checking off all these boxes and continuing to move up the leaderboard in all of these categories. He's the blocks leader, which occurred this season. Leads the franchise in defensive rebounds, has attempted the most free throws in franchise history. Triple-double leader with 29 of them. One by one, all of these things have just started to fall off. A lot of things that you never paid attention to before. Case in point, Giannis is the franchise leader in true shooting percentage. The VORP, all-time franchise leader at 41.6 in value over replacement player. Yes, baseball statistics have even made their way into the NBA. But the big one, and perhaps what everybody looks to, when you look at, man, how good was this guy in franchise history? What do you look at? I think it's really two things. At this point now, it's becoming two things. Three-pointers is what we always look at of, hey, this guy hit the most threes. Who's made the most threes in Bucks history? It happened this season, Greg. I mean, you were probably working the broadcast.
If it happened
this season, shouldn't that be a giveaway? Who hits a lot of threes for the Bucks? I forgot. Who's the franchise leader in three-pointers made for the Bulls?
Oh, I have no idea.
Benny the Bull?
Benny the Bull, yeah.
Chris Middleton is the leader in three-pointers made for the Bucks. But Giannis, I don't believe this includes tonight's game. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has scored 14,211 points. 14,211 points for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That is the most in NBA history. Giannis coming into play tonight had scored 13,845 points. So let's just do the math here, Greg. 13,845. He scored, what, 32 tonight? So 13,877 points scored for Giannis.
That's at 34 tonight. 34.
Ooh.
Plus two.
So that means Giannis needs 333 points to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in Bucks franchise history. There are 18 games remaining this season. If Giannis were to play all 18 games, which, yeah, I'm with you, I don't think that'll happen, he would only need to average 18.5 points a game. So what's a moderate estimate? Let's say he plays 14 games. Let's say he plays 14 games. He needs to average 24 points a game in those 14 games. Giannis is going to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in Bucks franchise history this season. Think about the last 4 years, what he has done. All-NBA, Defensive Player of the Year, back-to-back MVP awards, an NBA championship, an NBA Finals MVP, and number one franchise leading scorer. A bulk of that being done in the last 4 years. So it's been, and I've seen it talked about in a few circles, one of the few positives of the dark circle of Twitter and Bucks Twitter and NBA Twitter in general. I've seen it mentioned by a few people of, hey, let's keep an eye on this. All the way back to January. Like, hey, by the way, he's scoring a lot of points. I mean, let's not forget, he's only X amount of points away. 333 points is all he needs.
It's so doable.
And they got a Sixers game on the schedule, so he's going to go off for 40 or 50 in that game.
50 right there.
The schedule that he has in front of him, some pretty bad defenses. Now, we said 18 games left. I don't anticipate him to play in all 18 of those games. Next week, case in point. Got a brutal, brutal schedule in March and really the close to the season. You got a back-to-back road and home with the Thunder and Hawks. He'll probably miss one of those games, right? But you got the Kings on the schedule. You got the Bulls two more times who they can't stop him. He's got the 76ers one more time on the schedule. He's got the Pistons who he just obliterates. He is going to be the NBA, the franchise all-time leader in points scored before the season is up. 333. 58 minutes into the program is the stat of the game. 333 points. That's all he needs to become the franchise leader in points scored. Sunday afternoon is when we're back, and we see how many more Giannis crosses off of that 333 mark. It's the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. Keep an eye on the injury report tomorrow afternoon to see what the status is of Devin Booker, but it's the Bucks and the Suns Sunday afternoon, 2:30 tip, 2 o'clock coverage begins. My thanks to Chris and Greg for producing the show. All of you for hanging out for the last hour. You've been listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.